So I'm going to give some instructions for walking meditation. And one of the significant aspects of walking meditation is you're not walking to get anywhere. You're walking just to walk and to be present in the walking and to kind of catch the present moment as it's experienced in an embodied way with your body. The body is always in the present moment. The mind sometimes is seldom in the present moment. And so the task is to support the mind, guide the mind, encourage the mind to be with the body, to be present in the experience of body. And with walking meditation, there's a whole series of somatic experiences that come into play. And sometimes it can be more captivating than sitting because of all that movement that goes on. And then sometimes walking meditation can be less engaging than sitting because there's so much to see and it's a little bit more like daily life and the eyes are open and so the mind will spin out much more. Different people have different experience with walking meditation. Some people find that they take to it right away and take to it more easily than with sitting meditation. Some people find that it's the opposite, and they don't take to walking meditation. In fact, they don't even like it. And that was my case. And for me, it was an acquired taste. So by doing it, slowly over time, I came to love it. Now I have great appreciation for it. But it took a while to acquire that taste, to find the value of it. So if you're like me, and you somehow don't care for or don't find it interesting or don't even like the walking meditation, then something I told my kids when they were small is probably still true for adults. You don't have to like something to do it. And if we get pulled into our likes too much and our preferences, then we're not really free. And so to kind of give yourself over to the experience and of walking and really kind of give it a chance to come alive for you. The task is to find a walkway that's about 20 or 30 paces long. Ideally it's flat, but it doesn't have to be. And simply to walk back and forth. The advantage of walking back and forth rather than wandering around is very quickly you know the route. And that part of the kind of subtle part of the mind that's kind of navigating the path knows the route and get quiet. And even though it might seem like an innocent, quiet part of the mind, you just find your way as you walk around the property, it is a more activated part of the mind than what can be possible as we settle in and get quiet. And also in going back and forth, there's a chance when you turn around that you might notice that you wandered off in thought. And so it's a kind of a check-in time. And then maybe you can then reestablish the practice and start over again. In walking back and forth, the subject of the attention is usually the sensations in the body, and particularly the sensations of the lower legs and the feet. There's something about the changing rhythmic sensations that actually make it easier to get concentrated in a relaxed way than if we try to focus on something which is unchanging. You just find a spot in front of you and try to hold your attention unwavering from that little spot, your eyes will strain after a while. But if you watch something that's moving, like a fire flame, people will sit in front of that for hours, or a stream flowing, there's something about the movement that kind of makes things more soft and relaxed. The mind doesn't fixate. So this art of staying with the rhythm of the breathing, the cycle and the rhythm, and using that rhythm is a way to keep the mind from getting fixated, but still resting in the present with the experience. And so the comparable thing in walking meditation is the rhythm of the legs as they walk, the feet as they walk. And there's a kind of a cyclic rhythm that we tune into. If you're walking fast, then it's mostly just the contact of the sole against the foot against the ground. If you're walking slow, it's the sensations of the foot that's doing the stepping, so lifting and swinging and coming down. The So when you find a walk a pathway to walk, and here at IRC there's a walking hall next door, and we walk the kind of short distance, the width of it. You can walk in the hallways, you can walk in the community hall, you can walk in just about anywhere, in your room. Some people like doing it there. The decks around here, and the, you know, outside on the grounds. And when you find a place to walk, I think one of the nicest things to do to begin is to find a pace that gives you a sense of ease. And that attention to yourself, to find what that means, a pace of ease, is the beginning of the mindfulness of walking. What feels right? How, from the inside out, what feels more connecting? That you feel more connected to your body, more connected to the walking, that you're more here. And what feels right for the inner energy and disposition that you have? Sometimes when I've been agitated or have a lot of strong emotions coursing through me, I've found it really useful to do very fast walking meditation. There was something about that fast that kind of just let it, was respectful of the energy and let it be held and contained and be felt in a strong way. And sometimes as I get still and concentrated, it's nice to go really, really slow. And sometimes, you know, people go so slow you hardly notice that they're walking. But the idea is you find a pace that feels right to you, and you don't have to succumb to peer pressure and do what other people are doing. And sometimes it might be nice to walk fast. In that case, probably you don't want to do it in the walking hall next door. You might probably want to do it outside and away from people. But it's something that gives you a sense of ease. I think generally it's a little bit slower than an ordinary street pace. You might be walking down the street, but it's up to you to kind of find that. And once you find that sense of ease, see if you can let your mind be soft and relaxed. More like mind becomes very receptive. The image that I use for myself in walking meditation is kind of like I'm in the passenger seat of a car, and it's almost like I'm not moving, the car's not moving, but the whole world is coming at me, just kind of coming and going right by, coming right by. So for me, that creates a kind of a sense of very spacious consciousness, awareness, that's very receptive and not fixated or tight. And then with that more relaxed awareness, then kind of begin receiving the sensations of your body, maybe at first your whole body, whatever way that wants to appear. And then with time, let your attention kind of begin taking in the feet and the legs and the different sensations there. And as we get more focused, it becomes more of a narrow or smaller area that we really take in. So it might be that if you're walking slow enough, it's really just the sensations of your foot as you move. As you lift the foot, there might be the lightening of the foot, the pushing against the ground a little bit, the tightening of some of the muscles of the calf, perhaps. And then there's the sensations of swinging through the air. And it might be much more subtle there if you're really in the foot, but it might be vibration, sense of movement, temperature. Maybe because of the blood flow changes slightly as you stop putting pressure on the foot and you feel that shift and change. And then as you come to the end of your swing, you feel that the legs come down. There's a lightening and both a sense of heaviness that comes with that. And then the contact with the ground. And then the shifting weight as the weight goes onto that foot. And the increasing pressure and hardness that comes into play. And then you move your attention to the back foot and do the same thing over again. If you're walking too fast for that kind of subtlety, then maybe it's just the kind of more the general sensations of your whole leg that as you move, or just the soles of the feet against hitting the ground. And then as you walk during the time, you might find that the pace that's right for you changes as you move along. So you might want to adjust the pace. When I was in Burma, sometimes they gave us an idea that over a course of 45 minutes or an hour of walking meditation, we would have three paces, three speeds, and you'd kind of like gear down and go slower and slower, you know, and as you went. But, you know, that's really up to you and see how it works for you. It's best to do the walking period, the walking as long of a period as you can, meaning that when there's a walking period, you don't want to start and then go get tea and then come back and do another 5 minutes and then go pee and come back and do another 5 minutes of walking and then lay down and come back and do another 5 minutes and then, well, it's time to come back and sit. How long you can do it affects a lot in how well you can settle in. So you can really want to settle in, and you might have to work through some of the distracted mind and some of the spinning out that goes on, and because you're stirred up a little bit, maybe from, you know, getting to the walking place. And so if you keep, you know, interrupting it, then you don't settle in. I think generally what can be nice is to take care of PT, rest, whatever you need to do after the sitting period, because then you can do the walking. And then when you come back, you can kind of quietly, slowly include the part of the walking meditation, come back to the hall to do the sitting. So there's more of a continuity with it. Generally, not always, but generally there's a kind of idea that the walking meditation can be a little bit more of a concentration practice. And so you bring that concentration with you back into the sitting. But for some people, that's not the case. It's the opposite. The sitting is more of a concentration practice. And if you want, you know, if it works better for you, you can do the opposite of what I just said, where you find maybe it works best for you to sit and then go directly to the walking, and then, you know, take your little rest or pee, whatever you need to do, at the end before you come back. So whatever it is, you have to find your rhythm and how it goes here on the retreat. Some people find it helpful to use mental notes, use a little label in the mind. And what it is, using a thought to help you stay present rather than your thinking doing whatever it wants. And chances are then it won't help you be present. And so you're giving your thinking mind a little something rudimentary to do so that it doesn't wander off too much. And that little gentle, quiet thing is called a note, a single word. And it could be as simple as saying the word here, as you walk. It could be stepping, kind of so you're really there with the steps. If you're walking slow enough, it might be lifting as the foot lifts up and placing as it goes down. Or lifting, moving, lifting, swinging, and placing. So you're really kind of, and the note is kind of like little encouragement. Stay right there. Feel this, be with it. And the language of feeling is usually more useful than that language of watching. We watch often from the control tower in the head and can be quite distant from the experience. But to feel is to kind of be much more intimate with the experience, to be present and sense the experience where the sensations are occurring. And that kind of, and it's fascinating that sensations that we have and the sensing of those sensations are non-dual. There's no separation between them. And that's fascinating, this idea that the sensing is what you do, in a sense, and the sensations are you're not even responsible for, they just like happen. But actually they're inseparable in some way. We can see them as separate, and this kind of being right there, that intimacy and that kind of blending of the place of non-dual place of sensing and sensing can be quite engaging and help the mind kind of enter into a receptive mode and quiet mode. So I hope you enjoy the walking, and I hope that it supports your sitting. I hope your sitting supports the walking, and that you give it a chance to. And when you meet with Bruni and I for our practice discussion, talking about the walking meditation, how that's going is one of the great topics. At 11 o'clock, at the end of the next beginning of the next walking period, I'll stay in the hall here and be available and to offer posture instructions. So I'll announce it then, and those of you who want to stay can stay. And if, as I said yesterday, if you have a work meditation at 11 and like to stay for the posture instruction, be sure to leave a note for the cooks. And then this evening at 7:15, that'll be the first walking period in the evening, we'll have an informal meeting with those who are new to sitting retreats like this, or new to sitting a retreat at IRC, or feel pretty newish. So we'll just have, we'll have it right in here. It's going to be an informal kind of chat that Bruni and I will have with you, and just to check in and see how you're doing and any questions you have, so you can know that that's coming, and might be helpful to know that for Because sometimes the first day of a retreat can be a little bit challenging, and so you'll get some, you know, be able to talk about it or get some support at the end of the end of that day. So thank you. Thank you.